You know, that was kind of a bear of bad news for Alessio.
Yeah, and I'm sorry.
But would you rather not have it? How uncomfortable would he be if we didn't have it at all?
Yeah, that's just the tricky thing about new homes in this. You know, we're constantly fighting efficiency versus comfort, you know, like we briefly mentioned, and they're two totally separate things. So you can have one or you can have the other. And right now, you know, if you guys saw the we almost hit the record of the megawatts on, yeah. I believe it was the 17th.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. So the utilities are going to be a little more focused on the energy efficiency and say, you know, 79 might feel okay.
I had an interesting question here, Zach. We're not going to be able to answer on air. This was an email that came in this morning. How do I figure out what my return will be if I upgrade from an R19 to an R39?
Yeah, that's a great question. R19 is about half the amount of insulation in your attic, so that's going to be right around 5 to 6 inches. And taking you an R38, 39, that's going to double the amount of insulation. So when you look at the statistics of a 5% failure rate in your insulation, cutting the entire R value in half, doubling the amount of insulation is going to be, I would say, and I'm going to say this, not knowing what your utility bill looks like, but that's going to be a significant improvement to the house, not only on your comfort, but should significantly help out that utility bill.
And off the top of your head, on a 1,000-square-foot home, what would be the cost of blowing in another 6 inches?
Yeah, we get asked that a lot, too. You know, you're right around, most homes are right around $1,200 to $1,500 to double their insulation.
In the attic.
So it's really a quick return on your investment and just one of those things that every homeowner should just do for the cost of it.
To an R39.
Correct.
It doesn't make sense to put $1,200 on top of an R39.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of these insulation contractors, the home show, just sell insulation on top of insulation
R80,
and let's throw a radio barrier in there too, just for safe measure.
Yeah, there's data and test. Thank goodness there's data and testing done for our climate, which is just right here in Maricopa County, that puts us at an R38. If you go down to Tucson or just a little bit north to Flagstaff, those R values change. So they didn't just throw the number out for fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to Mike, who's been very patiently holding. And when we finish with Mike, I want to go back and I want to start talking about super cooling.
Excellent.
Because y'all have some extremely critical data on taking super cooling to the next level.
And so, can I ask a question real quick?
You can. Sure, buddy.
What does the R stand for?
I knew you'd stump me.
I think of it as R means resistance.
It's the resistance of heat transfer.
The higher the R, the more resistant that material is to transferring
correct.
Heat.
And just real quick also, when we're looking at inches and R values, that's solely based on the manufacturer of the insulation product. So one cellulose brand might hit R38 at 11 inches. One other cellulose brand might hit R38 at 13 inches. It's still the same product, different brands, but that R value is going to be different based on the product that they put together and
all right.
The manufacturing process.
Very good. Mike, we promised you to get on. Let's bring you on. And again, thank you for being patient.
Oh, you're very welcome. Word about Rias, they came in and did an audit here. And SRP sends you a flyer every month on how your energy use compares with other homes of the same size.
Yeah, your neighbors, right.
Yeah, so we were running about 5 out of 10, and after Rias replaced the insulation and sealed the ductwork, last winter we were up at 9. And I have a recording studio in one bedroom that was uninhabitable. it works. It's really great. So thank you, guys. The question is, I tried the super cooling thing, but the temperature in the house during this prolonged heat goes up about 5 degrees an hour. And is there a degree that you look for? Is that normal or what?
Mike, can I just ask, what vintage is your home?
1992.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, Jeff, go ahead.
Mike, what's your last name?
Moore.
Mike Moore. All right. Mr. Moore, thanks for the kind words, and I'm glad that we could exceed your expectations. To follow up on your where you were going, Rosie had just mentioned we were going to get on the super cooling topic.
Yeah.
And, Mike, we have found a little number through some extensive testing on helping homeowners decide if super cooling is right or wrong for their home. And that number is 4 degrees. So what that means is if – you know, for all the homeowners out there, you can do this any at the hottest time of the day. We want you to put your thermostat to 76 degrees, and then once it hits that 76 degrees, satisfies the thermostat, turn it off, and wait 1 hour. And if that temperature goes above 4 degrees, which is our golden number, then your home should be good and adequate for super cooling. So you being at 5 degrees, That's pretty dang close, and I would highly recommend trying that out. If you were at the 7, 8, 9 degree mark within that hour period, then there's something else going on.
Well, thank you so much. And that annual service that you guys do, I think it's $110 a year. The technicians always put in more than you would ever expect.
I appreciate that, sir. And, yeah, we at Rheus strive to outperform the rest. So thanks for your kind words.
Thanks for the call, Mike. So can I stay on super cooling?
And your dad lives in a different state, so that we know that wasn't him at the 4-year-old, right?
Hopefully not.
Yeah. So let's talk super cooling because it's gone through a new evolution now with the new time change.
Correct.
We were screaming at the top of our lungs leading up to this rate change in May. Be ready, be ready, be ready. Mm-hmm. You've got to change the way you're consuming electricity or you're going to be killed. We've got to move all of our programmable thermostats to the new off-peak, on-peak criteria. We've got to start changing all of our water heater timers. Or if you've got a whole house energy management system, you've got to recalibrate that to make sure you're buying off-peak. So the object of supercooling is to get somewheres in the margin of 90% of your power all month long is bought off-peak.
That's right.
And the only way to do that is to thermally cool your house off-peak and on-peak let your house sleep. Now, my home has a few peculiar scientific testing things that I've done to it that most other people don't have. But my house goes to 66 degrees, and at 245, I tell the thermostat, let it go to 78.
Right.
And it'll sit at 78 until 8:15. So off peak, if my house never goes above 78 degrees, my air conditioners never come on.
Right.
Last month, I bought 94% of my power off-peak. My air conditioners never come on.
Right.
So my house won't go 8 degrees in 5 hours.
And that's excellent.
But at 78, I'm too hot to eat dinner. And Jennifer is really upset because she's gained 5 pounds because I'm eating dinner so late now. So we call it the APS 5 pounds.
Okay. Yeah.
I think 8 o'clock's too late to be cooling your house off. That's my one gripe about this new plan.
It is. We always talk to our homeowners about ways to beat that. The pool is the best. If you have a pool, jump in the pool and head straight inside because, you know, 80 degrees feels pretty good when you're soaking wet.
True. All right. So stay wet. That's one clue.
That's one. I don't know. If you have more ideas, shoot them our way. So
it only lasts a few days.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go outside your service area just a little bit with this next call. We've got Bruce calling from Tucson. Good morning, Bruce. Thank you for calling. Rosie on the house. Let me introduce you to Jeff Carmichael of Rias.
Good morning. How are you gentlemen doing?
Good.
I have a question. It's, I have live in a 1980 Adobe, burn Adobe home, and we're doing a full-on remodel of it. And so the first thing we did is when we got to the kitchen was to take out the lowered ceilings, which was hiding the vents, which were really low. So we took all of that out and just put a vent on it, and now it's cooling way better in the kitchen, which was always a hot spot, and you could never get it cool. And now the thing is just, it's nice, and I have a restriction on it, so the rest of the vents and that work. My question is would it be behoove me to put a return air at the far end of the kitchen laundry room area, and then so it would pull air, or would it be better on to put another AC cooling vent in there?
Okay. Which
part of the house are we trying to condition? I guess I'm a little bit confused, so help me out here. The kitchen?
Since we took out the lowered ceilings, they had the low ceilings where everyone used to have it's like 6 feet or so.
Right. So is it the laundry room we're after now to condition?
But it seems to be working way better than it ever did since we took it out, and we're in the demo phase now. So it's very interesting because I was thinking maybe do a return air and pull some air over that way, or run a vent over and put AC down there.
Okay, you're kind of asking a loaded question, so I'll start there. Before we start throwing registers, whether it's a return register or supply register, a duct system done correctly is done through a manual D duct design. And then that means that per the square footage of every room of your house, how many appliances are in that room, the windows, everything that causes a heat gain on that room, it needs a certain amount of cubic feet per minute worth of air. And so once you start tampering with the duct system, you could really start throwing off that manual D design that was hopefully done at one point in time. So where you should start is calling one of the Rosie certified air conditioning contractors in Tucson, have them come out to the house, and they will be able to measure the size of the ductwork, measure out the rooms, and then tell you what you need to do before I just tell you, go ahead and do this or go ahead and do that, because we could imbalance.
Oh, that's what we're asking.
Yeah, you could imbalance the whole system by doing one or the other. So measuring out the whole system, and then they can guide you from there.
Okay, great.
Mm-hmm. But I will tell you, we will not recommend, and we get asked this a lot, we will not put return registers. That's where you replace your filter in laundry rooms or kitchens. There's too much humidity in those rooms. And once you start pulling that, and smells is another big part of why we don't. We don't want to introduce that humidity, those odors, into the air conditioning system itself.